The hour of 8 o'clock, plus just a bit because of the snow. Having arrived, I'm going to call the meeting of the Taxes Committee to order. We do have a quorum. So before we start, has anyone had a chance to look at the February 6, 2019 minutes that would care to approve? Representative Carlson moves the approval of the February 6, 2019 minutes. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote on those minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. A motion does prevail. The minutes for February 6, 2019 are approved. So we're going to move to the agenda today is basically Section 179, bonus depreciation. And Section 179 is a bill we actually had in the tax bills last year, full expensing on that. And I also want to thank members for being here really quite prompt despite the weather this morning. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. Representative Carlson.
Only met for legislator present.
Uh-oh.
Well, now we have Representative Becker Finn, so there's a couple yellow free men.
I think most of the rural folks must live or stay close to the Capitol, and those of us who were commuting had a tough road this morning. But I didn't see you come in.
Representative Carlson, I don't know where all of the rural members know. I just know that Representative Fabian did not come in this morning from Roseau. That I know. That I know. So, Representative Fabian. Yes, Representative Fabian.
And if I would have come in this morning, it probably would have been on my snowmobile.
Well, you know,
it's up there, you know, snowmobiles. And if you buy one, there's a sales tax, and it's really good for the economy.
You know, it was Joe Rowlett up in the Pevenant area when he's the one who saved the Capitol from being moved from St. Paul to St. Peter. He stole the bill, and he would come in town on his sled and everything like that. It was actually in North Dakota at the time, but it was kind of the territory and so forth. And Representative Carlson.
I had a call from the legislative librarian last week, and her question was if I had actually snowmobiled a number of years ago to the Capitol. And I said, that's a myth. I arrived in a snowmobile suit. what happened was we had a bad snowstorm. In fact, they didn't even get a quorum in the end for the House. But I called my neighboring House member, and I asked if she had been plowed out yet. And she had. I hadn't. And there was no way I could even get to the main street other than by walking. So she said, I'm leaving right now. If you can get down to 35th and Winnetka, I'll pick you up. So I put my shovel down because I was shoveling the driveway, but down to 35th and Winnetka, and I get to the Capitol just in time to punch in. And at any rate, a myth developed that I had a snowmobile in the Capitol. And so she gave me a call last week and wanted to know if that was a true story. And so I told her no. But the other thing was that became somewhat important. I don't know if I got there in time to punch in. But I've never missed a legislative day in 47 years. And so it was important to get here. Now, I don't know whether that would have been counted for or against me if they didn't have a quorum. But didn't quite snowmobile, but I had the suit on.
And no, Representative Carlson, that is unbelievable. Tremendous that you have not missed a day of session. A legislative day in 47 years. That is something. So,
very good. I've had good luck with good
right.
health. Hopefully that continues.
Yes.
But thank you for the day.
Yes. Thank you.
So the members arrived from the Met.
Right. No, exactly. So here is what we are going to do, because we have two pretty identical bills, is we're going to move House File 515, and then I'll have Representative Poppy come forward. She can talk about her bill. Then when she is done with her bill, I'm going to have Representative Grunhagen come forward and join her there. And but we're not going to move his bill yet, so we just have one at a time. And then we'll have the testifiers on what Section 179 testify for or against. And then after questions are asked and testifiers are done, then we'll move the Poppy bill, and then we'll do the motions on the Grunhagen bills, if that's all right with members here. That way we can have them both up there at the same time. So if Representative Poppy, if you would come forward. And Representative Lean, would you move House File 515?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lean moves House File 515 for inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. So Representative Poppy, again, twice in 2 days here in the Tax Committee. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I think anytime you meet with a farmer these days, there are probably a few things on their mind, and one of those is the bill that's before you, and that is tax conformity for Section 179. They may have other issues that they'd like to talk to you about, but this is one that has continued on for a few years that they would like to see taken care of. And House File 515 is the Section 179 expensing bill that cleanly and simply conforms to federal tax law. It's retroactive to tax year 2018, and if there's need for a further explanation, I think you've got staff here that would be able to provide the detailed information about what it all does, but it does implement allowing for claiming depreciation in the tax year the property is placed in service rather than spread over a number of years. And this will help small businesses and farmers. So it is a good bill, and I think you are going to hear from people that are going to testify in support of it. It was in last year's tax bill. Then Chair David certainly supported it, and so the House, the Senate, the Governor all supported it last year, and I think it's something it's beyond time to do. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. And Representative Grunhagen, if you would come forward, and while you're doing that, if Mr. Clayman, if you would talk a little bit about Section 179, too. So thank you, Representative Poppy.
Mr. Chair and members, there is an extended background section in the two summaries for, actually all three summaries for all three bills today that provides some further information on Section 179 and bonus depreciation. These are expensing provisions. Expensing allows a taxpayer to deduct the full cost of property in the first year that it's placed in service. These are capital expenditures. There's a real value to this for businesses because the alternative is to take the deduction under the applicable federal depreciation schedule. And depending on the type of property, you could have 3, 5, 10-year, or even longer depreciation schedules. So there's a real time value of money here for expensing. The deduction is going to be worth more in the first year that the property is placed in service. It's the deduction won't be worth as much, 5, 10, 15 years from that point. There are some key differences between Section 179 and bonus. The biggest one, I think, is that Section 179 is typically limited to smaller firms because there are a lot more limits on Section 179. It's income limited. There's a cap on the total deduction you can take, and there's an overall limit on the dollar amount of capital expenditures for that business, and then it phases out dollar for dollar once it reaches that capital expenditure threshold. So at $3.5 million in capital expenditures, essentially, there's a zero amount allowance for Section 179 expensing. There's different types of property between Section 179 and bonus depreciation. There is some overlap, too. You can have some property that qualifies under both. And at the federal level, what happens is that firms will take the Section 179 deduction first, and then there's a specific order they have to be taken in. So you take Section 179 first, then bonus depreciation, and then your regular depreciation. Section 179 is typically things like machinery and equipment used in manufacturing and mining and the like. At the federal level, these are expensing provisions, so you deduct 100% of the cost of that property in the first year it's placed in service. At the state level, we don't do that. We require 80% of that amount deducted at the federal level to be added back in the first year, plus $25,000. And then over the subsequent 5 years, then one-fifth of that remaining 80% is deducted each year until the Section 179 expensing deduction is used up. There's an argument that this creates complexity for taxpayers because they have to keep a separate schedule at the state level for the property they're deducting at the state level versus federal. And I think I would just note, too, that because of the TCJA, there's another layer of complexity involved, too, under current law, which is that the TCJA changed the types of property that can qualify for both Section 179 and bonus depreciation. And for bonus depreciation, it's significant because the Fed, Congress authorized or allowed deduction, the depreciation deduction for used property as well. So that's a pretty big deal. So what this means is that for 2018, there are taxpayers who not only would have a separate schedule of taking that deduction at the state level, but that will also apply to different property between the federal and the state level. Both of the Section 179 bills and the bonus depreciation bill today would do what we're calling full retroactive conformity to Section 179, which would conform us both to the updated definitions and at the federal level for the types of qualifying property that can take these deductions, and would also eliminate that 80% add back plus the 5-year recovery period at the state level. And so, Mr. Chair, I think that's all I have but I certainly answer more questions.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Clayman. And Representative Grunhagen, anything that you'd like to add? I know when we get to your bill, you've got an author's amendment, and we'll add that on at the time. But any comments, Representative?
No, he seems a lot smarter than I am. That's all I got to say.
Very good. So at this time, if there is testimony here, and Representative Popier Grunhagen, you have some testifiers here. So
yes,
if you
we
come
do.
Forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've got a couple of people that will come forward.
So I think we have Ms. Glazer.
We've got, yes.
We'll start with Ms. Glazer and then.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Good morning.
My name is Amber Hansen Glazer. I'm the Director of Public Policy for Minnesota Farm Bureau. We are a grassroots general farm organization representing nearly 30,000 farm families across the state. I want to thank the committee for taking up tax conformity issues this year, especially provisions that affect rural Minnesota, like Section 179 and 168. Simply put, Minnesota Farm Bureau and most commodity groups across the state support the state of Minnesota's tax code conforming to federal depreciation rules. Farmers and ranchers need to be able to manage their businesses through challenging financial times and be able to continue to invest in their farms and production supplies each year. Agriculture operates in a world of uncertainty, and farmers and ranchers need a tax code that provides that certainty and recognizes their unique financial challenges. Thank you to all of today's bill authors and to Chair Marquardt for bringing these bills forward. Minnesota Farm Bureau greatly appreciated that Section 179 was included in last year's tax bill and appreciate that you're considering it again this year, and we look forward to having those conversations. I would ask that you support conforming to federal depreciation rules, including Section 179 with these bills and for Section 168 that we'll be hearing later. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll have the testifiers, and if there's questions, we can just stay close, please. So good morning, if you would identify yourself and please.
Good morning. Thank you. Gary Wordish, President of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and thank you, Chairman, and the members for being here. And I do have to say, I was impressed that we had a quorum coming here early, because I was here about 7:30, and there was only a couple people in the room, but at before 8, you were here, so I got to commend you for that. Just like talked to my wife this morning, she went out to do the chores before the snow, before she could still see the barn, so that was good. You guys got here so you could still see, so thank you for being here. But this issue has been before us a number of years. We haven't conformed to the federal tax code for a long time in Section 179, and now with the recent tax bill that's passed at federal level, I'm glad you're bringing this forward. It's it provides, especially in the farm community, it gives them some options. Whether they right now we have enough stress in the farm community just trying to hang on, and this gives it another tool. If the full deduction of the 179 is a beneficial to them, they can take it, and if not, they can still spread it out. So we very much appreciate you bringing this forward, and Farmers Union, we've pretty much everybody in the ag, all the ag groups, corn, beans, soybeans, pretty much everybody in the ag group will, ag community will support, does support this. It's just getting at the complexity out of your research person, Christopher. I read a lot of your stuff last night, and you did a good job of explaining it. So really no more. just thank you for the process. No need to ramble on anymore. With, you know, the ag community is very much supportive and supports you working through on this process as you come up with a final solution. But we would support all three bills, even though you're the 518 is not formally in front of us, but we, Farmers Union, we support all three bills and support the process moving forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wordish. Thank you. Ms. Caduton. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Beth Caduton. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. We're here in strong support of the bill. We thank the chair and the authors for bringing it forward on a bipartisan basis. This is an issue that's always had good, strong bipartisan support. And I think the reason is that we can all agree on that goal, which is trying to encourage investment in Minnesota operations by our private sector. This really gets at that issue by allowing, as was mentioned, businesses to be able to write off that purchase in the year they purchase it versus having to depreciate over numerous years. I think it's certainly time to get this conformed to. The majority of other states do conform on Section 179. This change was made permanent at the federal level as well. And then just the complexity concerns that was mentioned as well. So we do know we need to clean this part of the law up because it really has, as mentioned by testimony by CPAs on previous committees, really has added to the cost of complying with our tax code. I'll just mention on bonus depreciation as well, which will be the next bill you hear. Another one that does encourage that goal of investment in our state. We're certainly supportive of that as well. And as resources allow, it would be fantastic to fully conform on that. We do realize, as you see that revenue estimate, that that is a much more costly item to the state. So I certainly understand that might be harder to conform with completely. But we do know we do need to update on those equipment definitions so we can reduce that complexity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to come down and testify for or against House File 515 or House File 235 or House File 518? I'll take all three of them. If not, Representative Grunhagen, if you'd come forward. So, members, any questions for the authors? All right. Seeing none, Representative Poppy, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As it has been stated, we've been out of conformity since 2005. It is something that would reduce complexity, would reduce stress, would eliminate the difference between federal and state on this issue. It does incentivize investment, and it's a good thing to do. So I would appreciate the support of this committee to be able to bring this forward and to have this included in a tax bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. And so what we're going to do is we're going to move this one and then Representative Grunhagen, you have a chance for your final comment. So Representative Lean renews his motion to lay over House File 515 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Representative Poppy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Chair Davids moves House File 235 for inclusion into the tax omnibus bill, and there is also an amendment. Representative Davids, would you like to move the A2 amendment?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids moves the A2 amendment. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, when call for the vote. All those in favor of the A2 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The motion does prevail. The amendment is adopted. Representative Grunhagen, if any comments on your bill or on the amendment?
I just want to thank you, Mr. Chair, and the committee for giving me a chance to also present the bill, which is basically a clone of Representative Poppy's bill. In the interest of transparency, this bill is also from former Representative Sarah Anderson, and I made a few modifications, and so I appreciate that. I would like to comment on the fiscal note just briefly, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things that I would bring out, because I know fiscal note is a big part of what goes forward and how this is done, is that the current way that the Minnesota Department of Revenue figures a fiscal note is it from a static standpoint. In other words, if you reduce taxes by a dollar, you have less revenue. Now, I happen to believe in a dynamic scoring, okay? And what that means is that you take into consideration that lower taxes, especially on our farmers and small businesses will actually create higher tax revenues. I had a handout here, April 2015, from the Minnesota Revenue and Economic Update. I know it's a few years old. But if you read the paragraph that I have bracketed, it shows that when the gas price dropped significantly by 35%, it was equivalent to a $2 billion tax increase for Minnesota businesses and families. It equaled a $900, the decrease in gas prices equaled $900 of additional disposable income per Minnesota household. And then it went on to state, this will provide a boost to state economic activity in 2015 and 16. The result was we had a surplus. So dynamic scoring takes into consideration that when you reduce taxes, especially on our small businesses and farmers, you actually get increased tax revenue. So, you know, one other way to understand static versus dynamic scoring is static scoring of a fiscal note is that you are precisely wrong. Dynamic scoring of a fiscal note, which some states use and the federal government, I understand, uses, although I don't like to reference them when they're $20 trillion in the hole, means you're approximately right. So as this moves forward, whether it's my bill or Representative Poppy's, which, again, her fiscal note is identical, I would encourage the committee to consider the dynamic scoring of what you're doing. The other thing I would add is that the, you know, the farm economy, some say is in a recession, and others say is close to a depression, okay? They definitely need full deductibility of Section 179. I think it would give a boost to the rural area. All the prices are down. Their expenses are up. I own an independent insurance agency. I have a lot of farm clients, and I, you know, farmers tend to once in a while look at the half-empty glass of water, but I've never heard it for a long time. This is probably the most depressing situation I've seen in the farm economy and also with our implement dealers. So, Mr. Chair and members, take that into consideration and think carefully about dynamic versus static scoring. Just because it's scored statically doesn't mean you can't take into consideration dynamic fiscal note. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Representative Fabian.
Well, I just, for Glenn, in your comment, you first said that it was a $2.5 billion tax increase, I think you said.
Well, no, decrease.
I understand. So I just, and you corrected it a couple of times during your monologue, but just wanted to get that on the record.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd also like to put on the record, Representative Grunhagen said that his was a clone of Representative Poppy's bill. I'm not sure how you clone a bill that wasn't even there. Representative Grunhagen's House file is 235, Poppy's is 515. So just for the record, it's not a that's not a clone.
Very good. Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Grunhagen. On the dynamic scoring about how you suspect that reducing taxes will increase revenue, do you also believe in dynamic scoring on the, let's say, the spending side of the equation? So if we invest in education, it will reduce criminals and produce more tax-paying citizens. Or if we invest in clean air and water, it will reduce the number of sick people and, you know, we'll save on health care costs. Do you believe in dynamic scoring on that side of the equation as well?
Representative Grunhagen.
Having served 16 years on the school board, I believe in a strong academic and educational program for our children. Obviously, a literate workforce is a necessity to see a booming economy.
Well, thank you,
Representative
Chair. And I appreciate that, Representative Grunhagen. I, those of us around here have been concerned for years. The Constitution prohibits us from financing things across biennia, but there are many long-term things that we try to do in this body where you do not see the rewards for years, and yet we don't get to count that, whether it's investing in education or whether it's in some kind of attempt to spur the economy and tax cuts. So I don't know how we get around that, but I appreciate your honesty on the other side. Thank you, Mr. Mm-hmm.
And Representative Grunhage, I do appreciate your comments, and especially on the farm economy. It is in tough shape right now, and there's a lot of things we can't do as a state legislature. We can't control the weather. We can't control the prices. We can't control a lot of the trade type of things. But what we can do in this committee is reduce production costs. And, you know, the Section 179 that you and Representative Poppe has brought forward is very important. Lowering property taxes, very important. There's an issue out there right now where farmers are losing their homestead classification because of their kind of ownership structure and that we need to clean up. So those type of things that we can control, I agree, we need to do here, and this is one committee that can go a long ways in doing that. So do appreciate that. Anything else from members or anything else, Representative Grunhage, before?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. So Chair Davids renews his motion on House File 235 as amended, being laid over for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. So thank you very much. And at this time, we're at House File 518. I'm going to turn the chair over to Vice Chair Les Lagarde.
So welcome, Chair Marquardt. We have 518 before us. Would you want to move that?
I would. Mr. Chair, I move House File 515 for possible 518.
Yeah. 518.
For possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Well, you've heard Mr. Clayman, I think, has talked about these, and you heard earlier with 179. Bonus depreciation is really the big brother, maybe, to Section 179, in that there's probably two really major changes, is that there's no dollar limit on a deduction. And the one thing about bonus depreciation as opposed to Section 179 is that it's temporary and not permanent, as well this. So under current law federally, you can deduct 50%. Of that property once it's put into service. And Minnesota, we never conform, but we would do is you have to add back 80% of whatever was the federal deduction and then recover it over 5 years. And so with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, what the federal government did is that they made it 100% deduction for the bonus depreciation. Went to 100%, but they made it temporary. So in 2023, it begins to phase out at 20% a year until it is completely gone by 2027 on the bonus depreciation. And it impacts any property that's put into use after September 26, 2017. So what this bill would do would be totally conform to the federal bill, which means Minnesota would also then take the 100% deduction in that first year. Now, as you saw, there was a huge cost to that. It's like $700 million into this biennium. Now, there's things you can do differently. I mean, you could say, I want to add back 75% and recover that over 3 years. Or you could say, I want to add back 60% and recover that over 2 years. There's different things you could do. And just some rough estimates we received, if you were to do a 75% add back with a three-year recovery, it would be about $90 million in this biennium. And if you were to do, let's say, a 60% add back and then recover it after 2 years, that would be about $286 million. Over the 2 years. So that's what this does. It certainly the Section 179 was something that was in Chair David's bill, in the Senate bill, in the governor's proposals, and in the final bill that was vetoed, and certainly something we need to do. Bonus depreciation is a little bigger lift, if you will, but you know, there might be some possibilities depending on how you did that. The reason I brought this bill forward is just kind of give you an idea of just kind of the magnitude that's involved if you were to fully conform to bonus depreciation. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'm open for questions or comments.
Questions, comments from members? Seeing none, is there anyone from the audience? Welcome. Please state your name.
Thanks, yes. Mr. Chairman. Mike Hickey, National Federation of Independent Business. Maybe I get one last bite here. I missed it earlier opportunity here, having some fun on the roads today. But we appreciate all these bills, and they'd all do a tremendous amount of good for the small business people and the farmers we represent. We have struggled with these conformity issues for so long, and so many of you have worked on these, and we just can't quite seem to get there. And so sure appreciate, Mr. Chairman, you shining the light on this today and devoting some time to it. Governor Dayton notably did support Section 179 conformity last year, and hopefully there's a path to that. But this is so important for small businesses trying to expand or replace essential equipment, and for farmers who have to keep up their farming operations and replace very expensive tractors and other machinery. And so this would be a tremendous thing if we could finally get there, get part of the way there. I don't know what the plan is this year, but I appreciate you taking the time to discuss it today and put the spotlight on it.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. Any questions, comments? Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, would you like to closing comments, I'm sorry.
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just thank you to the committee for a discussion on this important part of our tax code as we move forward. So with that, I would like to renew my motion to lay over House File 518 for possible inclusion into the tax omnibus bill. Okay.
Chair Marquardt asked to lay over House File 518 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just as we wrap up today, next week, we're looking at kind of three major items. So on Tuesday, we're going to have more sales tax bills. They're always back for another performance. Then on Wednesday, we're going to have some bills on standard deduction increase and rate cuts, kind of individual tax relief. And then on Thursday is going to be tax code dealing with senior citizens. So it'll be Social Security, exclusion increases, and so forth. So that's kind of laying out for next week. So, Mr. Chair, that's all I have. Just want to wish everyone a nice weekend and safe travels home.
Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we are adjourned.